Well, good day, everyone. This is Jeremy. This is We Watch Stuff 105, and Shahid's on the other end. What's going on, man?
Nothing much. Just enjoying a rare day off during the week, counting down to the end of fasting and enjoying life.
Well, with that energy, it sounds like you're a little tired.
I'm just low-key, so that's what I like to call it.
I figured it was the end of fasting. It's finally getting to you.
I'm just, it's funny, like, this year was really an easy year. Time kind of flew by, so, and I was actually working out while fasting this year. So, I think it's because I was been working evening shift instead of day shift. It's been a lot easier than normal.
Yeah, I mean, man, when I work from home, I'm looking around, like, I'm hungry. And, yeah, it's just the boredom hungry. So, I couldn't imagine, like, going home at night waiting for the sun to go down. So, yeah, I guess working during that would be a lot easier. Being preoccupied and also where you're at. Not a whole lot of options, too. But, like, the food thing wouldn't bother me. I've actually been thinking about this. The food part wouldn't bother me. It'd be the no drinking stuff that would be the worst part. But...
yeah. The thing that bothers me the most isn't even that. It's people asking questions about it. Like, how do you do it? You can't drink water. You can't sneak it. I'm like, sneak. I'm a grown-up. Like, why? It's kind of like this idea they treat God like it's like a Jolly Green Giant. If I drink water in the closet, he's not going to see me. I'm like, that's not how this works. It's a faith thing. Either you do it or don't. If you feel like you got to sneak something, then don't fast. But it's not this whole, if I pull a blanket over my hands, he's not going to see me.
That sounds like a very Christian Catholic thing to say, because that's what we were always taught. Like, can you sneak stuff? And it's like, well, no, because it's an all-encompassing thing. You know, that we were told that, you know, God can see whatever you do, which is like, that ain't my problem. So don't be looking at some times of the day. But, so when is it over for you? Sunday?
Saturday's the last day.
Cool.
Yeah.
Well, congrats, you almost made it through another one. So.
Yeah. Thanks. That sounded so damn cryptic, but thank you.
You did. I mean, you know.
No, this is the part, if I stepped out of the house, like a plane would fall on me. Like I'm 2 days to retirement.
No, you just fall out of a boat. For whatever reason, somehow you're in a boat, or like a giant tub of water falls on you and you start drinking. And you're like, oh, I had one day to go. But Anyways, kind of a slow, like, newsworthy week. I guess the biggest news is that the Han Solo movie, which apparently was already filming, lost the director because they either split amicably or they were fired.
Yeah, it sounds more toward the latter than the former. Like, but they've tried to have good press around it because it's a Star Wars movie and it's a Disney movie. And it's funny when you think about it, ever since they got the license to do movies, it's been a lot of issues with directors.
Mm-hmm.
With these big, and I don't necessarily blame them, because it's kind of like, you know, this is Star Wars, these are big, even more than Marvel movies, like these are big budget movies, and we're not going to mess them up, and we're not going to take any chances. Because first the stuff with Josh Trank, like, he originally had a job, then he got dropped. We heard all the stuff about Rogue One and like all the reshoots and everything, and ended up working out fine. And then this one is kind of like, basically, the thing was, they were making a comedy movie, and Kathleen Kennedy and the big up said, no, we want a Star Wars movie with comedy. That's not the same thing. And, yeah, they bounced.
What was Josh Trank supposed to direct? I can't remember.
He was going to do a spinoff. Like, I don't know if it was going to be a Boba Fett movie or this. He was going to do a movie like this. And all the stuff that happened with Fantastic Four and the Fallout, kind of like, they walked away from that. Yeah, like, it's just, and then all the stuff you hear about, like, Trevorrow, because he just had a movie came out that just bombed, like, horribly. And they're like, you really want this guy directing a big star, like, the one after The Last Jedi? And yeah, it's kind of, on one hand, it doesn't bother me. And then, we didn't even talk about they replaced him with Ron Howard, because
yeah,
they kind of like, oh,
in sec, so.
Yeah. Well, on one hand, it's kind of like, you kind of know it. It's almost where it's funny, where if you don't want a certain thing, don't get it. Like, you know, if you don't want, it's kind of like if you have an aquarium and you don't want pain in the ass fish, don't buy a shark. And it's kind of like they do, like, they didn't watch 21 Jump Street and 212 Jump Street and the Lego movie. Like, they do a specific type of self-aware, snarky, but sweet-natured comedy. Like, that's their wheelhouse. It's not like, it's not like you got Antoine Fuqua and then all of a sudden he want to start cracking jokes. Like, like they're there for a certain thing, and then you get that, and it's like, well, this isn't what we wanted. And then the fact that it took this long, I don't know if it was kind of like they were trying to fix it or what they were trying to do. It seems like this is something they should have nipped in the bud a long time ago.
Especially with how far into filming it is, because this movie comes out next year, which surprised me. I don't know. I haven't been keeping up with the offshoot, if you want to call it that, Star Wars movies at all. You know, Rogue One, cool. And you hear about it, and then you get a preview, and it's out. It's like, all right, cool. That's how it should be. But I have not kept track of this at all. So the fact that they were actually filming already was a surprise. And then when I found out the date was for next year, it was a surprise. So, yeah, you're exactly right. Like, do you not see dailies? Like, I would figure, like, the Marvel side of Disney has a guy looking over everything, but it seems to be a different environment to where the filmmakers can do what they want, but they'll step in and be like, no, we got to change this, and outside the Iron Man 3 stuff, whatever. But the filmmakers are sort of left alone as long as they're doing what they were asked. But then the Star Wars case, it seems like there would be way more control. And in this case, it didn't seem like there was any going on. Like, doesn't Kathleen Kennedy get
no
dailies?
I think it was from what everything I've heard, and it wasn't just Kennedy, it was Lawrence Kasdan, because he's like, yes, the writer behind it. I think it was stuff going on we just didn't hear about it until now. Because you hearing all this stuff now, it's kind of like, you know, this was an issue for quite a while. And they were trying to, like, work it out. And I guess it got to the point where they couldn't work it out. Like, it was almost like they gave him a chance to fix it, and it never got fixed. But you didn't hear anything about it till after, because it's not like a Warner. Because it's kind of like Disney stuff doesn't leak, really. Like, yeah. But, I mean, every now and then stuff pops out, and usually it's kind of exaggerated because it's like you don't hear anything. So when you hear something small, you know you take it and run with it, but. Yeah, you didn't. All you heard about this movie was casting. Like, you know, when they casted Han Solo, when they casted Woody Harrelson and Donald Glover and Emilia Clarke. And then you saw, like, a picture of them standing with stuff. And then that was it. You know, like, unless Woody Harrelson was talking about the movie or Donald Glover was talking about it, you didn't hear anything about the movie at all until this happened. It wasn't like, you know, sources on the set said this friction or sources on the set said this and that. It wasn't anything like that. You didn't see anything like that online. And then all of a sudden, it's like, oh, they're leaving. And then a day later, Ron Howard's there. Think about, this is a big-time billion-dollar, you know, potentially billion-dollar grossing movie. They're gone, and within a day, they got a new director.
And not just any director as well.
Yeah. And not, you know, like, Hollywood old-school royalty, where it's like, you know, I know you brought up the fact, like, he didn't make good movies lately, but before In the Heart of the Sea, like, Rush was a very good movie. Mm-hmm. And more importantly, he has a reputation where he's not going to have any drama. He knows Disney. Disney knows him. They know, he knows how to work under, like, a big budget, big corporate thing. Like, it's almost like that whole Clint Eastwood thing where it's like, you don't necessarily have to be, sometimes daring is fine, but sometimes you just want somebody to, like, you know, handle business and handle at a reasonable time, and we can take care of the rest. Like, workmanlike. And something like this is fine. Like, he can come in, fix it, clean it, and it'll come out and be fine. Like, they don't necessarily need daring, because it'd be kind of hard at this point, considering how much they filmed. It's like, unless you're going to start from scratch, which I doubt they'll do, you don't want to have too much daring anyway. It's like, it's easier. You have two choices when you're cooking something and the ingredients might be a little off. Try to modify to make it as best as possible, or start from scratch. And depending on your time frame, starting from scratch is not necessarily an option. Like, you can't restart Thanksgiving dinner if, you know, you had the turkey and the turkey messed up and dinner's supposed to be ready at 3 and you found out the turkey's messed up at 1. Like, you can't just say, I'm going to cook a new turkey and we're just going to eat at 8 o'clock. Like, that's not an option with them when they have that time frame. So, yeah, it's kind of, they're going to do the best they can do with what they have. And it's just funny where you would think, like, I know we brought up Marvel. They used to have this issue with whole micromanaging when Perlmutter was around. But ever since he's been gone and, like, Feige's had, like, basically sole control, you've never heard issues like this. Like, ever since, what movie was, like, maybe Doctor Strange?
Yeah.
Is the first, like, yeah, because even Iron Man, even, like, Iron Man 3 and Age of Ultron, you heard that. But, like, ever since, you know, it's like Doctor Strange and stuff, it's like, they do what they want to do as long as it fits. And it's funny where you see the Marvel movies now compared to the Marvel movies then. Like, they look a lot different now, and that's not by accident. This one is like, yeah, we can't mess around with Star Wars because it pays the bills.
Yeah, but that's what's funny, because I agree with you, and that's why it's almost, you know, like the turkey analogy, but with a Star Wars, especially, because this is, I won't say risky, I just can't think of the right word. Like, having someone else step in, like Harrison Ford's shoes, to do a back to a prequel story about established characters, not saying, it's not a huge risk. It's still going to make money, obviously. But do you want to try and salvage what was done, or do you just want to start over? And like you were saying, I'm guessing he can salvage what was there, but from like what I've read, and obviously this is all, you know, secondhand hearsay, whatever, but they were going off script a lot. And if that was supposedly the problem, then wouldn't they want him to come in and be like, no, we need, this is what we want out of this? I mean, depending on how much was filmed, I guess. I don't know. They could have only been, you know, they may only have like, I almost said a few hours, but a few hundred hours of footage to go over, which in, you know, Hollywood speak isn't a whole lot. So I don't know that. I guess it depends on if they, it'll be up to, you know, Kasdan, Kennedy, and really Howard as well, to go, I don't know if we can do anything with this if it doesn't fit the vision they wanted. And then just put it out there and be like, well, that's the best we can do. It's like, well, like you said,
don't,
man.
Yeah, don't. Yeah. Just don't put out nothing. Like, do what Rogue One did. Because think about all the noise that was around that, and the reshoots, and they jiggered this, and they changed that. And it came out, and I mean, you might have noticed some stuff was different, but the movie was fine. And from what you hear, it's kind of like, it's amazing that the movie came out as well as it came out, because it's the way people were talking, it sounded like it was a disaster. And another thing, and I kind of brought up with you, most people don't even care. Like, the stuff that, you know, this behind the scenes, like, and it's kind of where, and I always get in the whole thing, like, even with these big, quote-unquote, nerd movies, it's not really, like, the nostalgia part and the Easter eggs are for us, but the movies are not about us, because they know we're going to come. It's about a whole new generation that's going to one day become us, because they know we're going to, like, all the talk, like, oh, it's a da-da-da-da-da, it's just a remake of this and that and that. You think that they're still going to go see it? They're not going to stay home like saying, oh, because of principles, I'm not going to go see these new Star Wars. No, they're going to see it and complain and criticize, but they're still going to go see it, and they're still going to buy the Blu-ray. So it's like, when you know you have that, you're trying to get the casual fans. You're trying to get people like my wife, and necessarily like your wife. Like, you know, why would I care about this movie? So she's not going to care about who the director, like, even if I ask, she doesn't give a damn about directors. Only like people who like really watch and enjoy movies care about directors that much. Like people who watch Bad Boys, some of them Michael Bay fans, some of them like, you know, I like Bad Boys. So the directors are irrelevant. The producers are irrelevant. It's like when you're a film, but it's not like sports, or even part of it is like sports, where it's like it's some sports fans that are fans of the whole organization, and it's something like, you know, I'm a Lakers fan, kind of like Kobe Bryant. They're going to tell you who the owner was, who the GM was, or even necessarily the coach. Like, coaches matter in college sports for casual fans more than anything. Yeah. But, and it's kind of like the same thing. Like, unless it's like Steven Spielberg, like big name, old school big name, nobody care. They just want to see the movie. They just want to see the movie.
Yeah, and it's funny with the, this was obviously in the works, because you don't just get Ron Howard to come in. you know, it's because remember he has the, him and was it Scott Rudin? I think they run Imagine. I mean, that's their company. They make all their movies through that. So I'm guessing Imagine will have their name on this in some aspect. I'm guessing. I don't know.
Man, you know? It's like, look, if Kathleen Kennedy calls you like, hey, I need you to do a Star Wars movie for me, he gonna say no? It's like it's Ron Howard. It's not like Joe Blow off the block. He's what? Like, you know what? Yeah, we'll work out the details when we get to it. I'll be there Monday.
Yeah, well, no, but that's what I'm getting at. Well, Ron Howard, I mean, what was that whale movie? You said the title. I always called it the whale movie.
In the Heart of the Sea.
Okay, not a terribly great movie, but visually, that thing was great. But Rush was before that. He's another one of these guys that's gotten into the technical aspects of movies more so than making and, like, creating a movie. Because I think he filmed something on all, like, Canon SL cameras or something like that. And he went on, he started doing all these other, like, photo essays and that. So he's gotten more into the technology, kind of like Lucas did. Which is funny that he's now coming back around to it and directing a Star Wars movie just like George. But he still has options out there. His name still carries that weight. So even her calling, I mean, it's also Hollywood, too. So these guys, you know, aren't just going to throw their stuff around. But also, yeah. Hey, you want to direct a Star Wars movie? Okay.
I mean, let's
make it happen.
I mean, it's like he
a Ron Howard film that, Star Wars. I mean,
yeah, like he grew up
sweet.
He grew up in that type of environment.
Yes.
He knows them. They know him. And he probably think it's kind of like he's probably at the point where it'd be fun. Like, think about, and you know, the segue before we finish, like, why did Michael Bay do Transformers? And you think about it, like, he was just doing movie. He'd do a movie here, do a movie there. The only sequel he had did before was Bad Boys. Mm. And ever since, and he, for whatever reason, he did Transformers for, I don't, like, he thought it was cool. I don't know. It's for the kids. He's done five of them. Like, he's done movies in between, but it's like, it's a Michael Bay before Transformers, and then there's a Michael Bay since. And there's, like, two completely different directors. Like, why do certain directors do certain things? It's like, some, I want to try something. Like, James Cameron's always been, like, you know, science and technical stuff. Like, I want to push what can be done. I want to explore new things. I want to do 3D. I want to explore water. I want to, like, push the boundaries. Michael Mann's been, like, a film thing. Like, you know, I want to push the new boundaries of film. I want stuff to look different. Ang Lee's been the same thing with the frame rate. Like, you know, I want a hyper frame rate so it looks this certain way. Like, some directors, like, stories, like, even, like, someone like Terrence Malick has been about cinematography more than anything. Where it's like, you know, because you get bored after a while doing the same old stuff. And it's like, I want things to look different so the media can look different. And we can, like, it may work, it may not work, but it's, like, inspiration to try something else. Like, mm-hmm. All the laugh about Bullet Time and Stop, Slow, and Slow Motion changed film. Some worse, but a lot for better. Like, you only get there if, like, you take the plunge. So you got Ron Howard, who's like, maybe I can do something different, and you got Disney pockets behind you, and it's Star Wars. Why would you say no?
Yeah. But no, there's no but there, actually. But that's the other thing. I keep saying that. They had to have had this going on anyways. Because even if, you know, you call them up and say, hey, you want to do Star Wars? Like, oh my God, I'm in the middle of doing this or doing this. You know, Ron Howard's not a guy that's sitting around. So this had to have been in the works for a while. Even like, you know, contradicting, we don't know how long they've been filming or anything. It just seems like this is something that they knew was going to happen and they've been working on this. Because, you know, it's Ron Howard doesn't get the credit he deserves, because remember, he does have an Academy Award and he's been nominated a bunch of times as well.
Mm-hmm.
So I keep reading, like, these articles. I think IGN said it, and like Bleeding Cool and somebody else, they keep calling him a journeyman director, and it's like, that's not the case.
Yeah, like, Ron Howard's not a journeyman. It's part of that whole what have you done for me lately. And then another thing is, like, unless you're, like, legend, big name, they like the young guy. Like, a lot of those websites, like, tend to like the young guys, or, like, you know, he's up and coming and da-da-da-da-da, like Rian Johnson. Like, Rian Johnson is great, but how many movies has he done? Like, he's done How many movies has he done that you've seen? Looper and what else? Yeah.
Is he the one that made Monsters? Or am I thinking of somebody different?
No.
The Godzilla one.
That Gareth Edwards made Monsters.
Okay, yeah.
And it's like these auteurs that made like one or two movies to do a big one, they're like they're the up-and-coming visionaries and like, oh, who's Ron Howard? I'm like, your parents watched Apollo 13 and loved it. Don't be turning, like, don't be frowning your face because your snot-nosed ass didn't watch any of his movies. Like, he's been doing this, and it's not like a guy that was just doing movies just to do movies, and he just happened to have a career because it's not like Brett Ratner where his movies are successful, but no one says like he's a great director. Even though the point of being a, even though the point of making movies is to make money, and yeah, it's like Ron Howard movies has made money, and Ron Howard movies has won awards, and so what are we doing? Like, show put respect on yeah. Ron Howard's name. That's Richie Cunningham. Like, what are we doing?
Yeah,
so,
well, you know, he had a couple. Well, like Rush didn't do that well at the box office, apparently.
But Rush was Rush
good
was
ass
great.
Movie.
Rush was a great movie. Like Daniel Brühl, I think, got nominated for Rush. Like that's it's funny where a movie with Chris Hemsworth, who was real good in that movie, got completely overshadowed by Daniel Brühl.
Mm-hmm.
And the type of story they told, like that's a movie. Whenever it comes on, I watch it. Like it's because it's just like it's not too long. It's entertaining. You can jump in whenever. Like it just tells a Chris story, and the racing scenes are just.
Yes.
Tremendous. So it's like you watch that from a technical standpoint, you won't have any worries about can he handle special effects and,
oh, yeah,
and
absolutely
technical
not.
Stuff.
Well, I mean, I know people are going to shit on this movie, but The Grinch Who Stole Christmas, I mean, it was kind of flat, but that's still, I mean, he had a team behind it that, you know, made all of this an actual palpable thing. And I'm trying to, what else is he, I almost said what else has he done, but he's run the gamut. I mean, even that In the Heart of the Sea, that was technically, I mean, working on water, the whaling scenes, all, I mean, it's near impossible. And it's funny, you mentioned Cameron, and we were watching Titanic the other day. And you don't quite realize in that movie that Kate Winslet's character is mentally disturbed. That girl is insane, and no one points this out.
Well, people point out now, they talk about how romantic it was back then. I'm like,
ooh,
no.
It was not.
If you really, it's kind of like if the whole thing is like, and I try to avoid watching movies with certain type of people. Like, when I watch a movie, I just pay attention to the story. Like, unless it's like a egregious detail that stands out, it doesn't really bother me that much. I might notice it like, you know, the second or third time I watch it. But it's some people that like micromanage everything, and it just prevents them from enjoying stuff. Like, if you watch Titanic, Michael Mann's like, yeah, she's insane.
Mm-hmm.
Like she's a lunatic. Like nothing about her story makes sense, from her being on the boat to everything that happened after the boat.
She gets people killed as well because of her irrational behavior.
Yeah. So, right. But it's like you don't watch like that. You just think about the whole. Like I always wonder, like, why did the movie make so much money? Because I hadn't watched it. It was like maybe like 7-8 years after it was out before I watched it. And then I sat down and actually watched it. I'm like, this is a technically masterful movie. Like, do people... And it's kind of like the whole thing with certain movies. Like, you don't realize how difficult it is to make it look the way it looked. Because the same thing with Avatar. Like, it's a reason those movies made a couple billion dollars. It's like, you just sit down just watching the movie screen. Like, you're like, wow. Like, you don't even have to be a movie fan, and you're like, it's the same thing. Like, certain movies just make you say, wow. Like, Jurassic Park was that same way.
Yes.
Like, the first one is like, wow, this is amazing. And even with the comic movies, you poo-poo. Avengers, like, watching that and seeing all the stuff that goes on, it's like you're slack-jawed. And certain things, it's kind of like, that's the thing that makes movies special, that whole wonder thing. When you can still, even when you're a grown-ass man or woman that's lived life, and you can sit down and just be like, what I'm watching is amazing.
Yeah,
and that's the magic of movies. And it's like, that's why they make these Star Wars movies, that and money. Money. Yeah, because it's like, you know, somebody was asking, like, why did they make a sequel to Cars? Like, we brought it before. It's like, they made $10 billion off of toys.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, yeah, money matters.
Which is insanity if you think about that. But... how long have Hot Wheels and Matchbox cars been around? So doing cars actually makes absolute sense. Yeah, and especially because they're charging more for the same dumb die-cast metal cars that Hot Wheels are. But because it's got the car's brand on it, you can charge $3 a car.
Like, I wonder how much money Fast and Furious makes off of merchandise and toys. Because you think, considering how long they've been... They would have to. It's funny where, I don't know, but it would be insane for them not to. Because it's like, I've seen the video games, like in the arcade, they haven't had like a lot of video games out like on systems for whatever reason. Oh, because most of the time it sucks. But it's like, you would think, considering how long they've been around, and it's toys and it's cars, you can, you know, I want to get a, you know, Toretto Dodge Charger diecast car.
I think, that's what I'm at on Toys R Us. They do have some. But like, not they do have some figures. That's weird.
Yeah. I mean, you think about it, it's kind of like we make the jokes about them being superheroes, but it's like, they're the non-comic superhero franchise, and they've been out for almost, 17 years and counting, and they're still doing it. So, yeah. I was just thinking about that when you think about merchandise. Merchandise is the big, you know, thing that... Yeah, it's kind of like he started that, and people always want to poo-poo themselves, like, oh, why is about that? I'm like, because people like money. They like having three boats. It's like, you know, and quick segue, because I want to talk about Transformers a little bit. Like, Transformers G.I. Joe cartoons were basically toy commercials.
Yeah, we talked about that before and how I had no idea.
Yeah, and they threw, like, stories in there to do that. And people, that's why I always laugh, and they're like, oh, Michael Bay ruined the show. I'm like, yeah, rewatch those Transformers cartoons. Like, that was cool when we were young. Those things were garbage. The animation was garbage. The stories made no sense whatsoever. But it was fun because it was like stuff, you know, changing like microwaves or tanks and everything. You're a 6-year-old. Like, that's all you need when you're a 6-year-old or 7-year-old. You don't need Attack on Titan or the Last Airbender or Samurai Jack level complexity. Like, I tell people, almost all the cartoons pre Batman the Animated Series and like Gargoyles and like Tiny Toons was garbage. Just acknowledge that and keep moving on. Like, nostalgia is telling you that it was something better than what it was. Mm-hmm. Not count like the Super Friends and all.
Oh, no. You can add them in there.
No, but that was different whole, like, you know, it's comic nostalgia, so that's fine. But it was kind of like, you know, Transformers and G.I. Joe and Thundercats and all them. Like, yeah, we have a memory because we were 7. We used to think eating glue was cool, too. when you grow up, you learn better. So, quick thing. I saw Transformers.
Yeah.
And I saw my wife, and we saw it in the morning because she wanted to see it with me. She got mad. I was going to see it by myself. I forgot she actually likes it. And that movie was a mess. No, not even like... a mess, like, you know, most people make the jokes about Transformers. Like, even my Michael Bay Transformers standards, that movie was a like, I enjoyed it, but it was not a good movie, and it felt sloppy. That's the first thing that came out of it. And like, Michael Bay is not sloppy, and that's the first time I felt like he didn't, like, because I asked Arlene how she felt about it. She's like, the last part was fine, but other than that, like, it was a lot of stuff going on. And I was like, yeah, it's a whole lot of stuff going on that makes no sense, and stuff just jumps from screen. And one of the biggest things, the ratio of the movie kept changing. Like, mid scene, like, it'd go from like widescreen to full screen.
That sounds like that's a theater.
No, because I heard other people complaining about that online, like at other theaters. Like, yeah, first off, because it's like that never had my theater before, and then I looked online and people were talking about like they said peculiar ratio decisions. I'm like, yeah, when somebody's talking and then it goes from like widescreen to half widescreen to full screen back to widescreen, like and it would just do it randomly. Like, it made no sense why it was being done, and it was just like, it was like a lot of stuff that was happening, and most of it didn't mean much. Like, you know, they had a story where Megatron, like, the government was working with Megatron, because it was kind of like Optimus Prime left, and it's kind of like, yeah, we're making a deal with the devil, we're going to keep an eye on him, but this is the best we can do. He's talking about, I need my team, like, this is Fast and Furious, and then they have a breakdown, like, they had locked up Decepticon 1 and had robbed a bank. One made a joke talking about I'll see your wife next week. And I'm like, what the hell? Like, why would a Decepticon rob a bank? Like, he got a car loan he needs to pay off. Like, what am I watching?
Wait. The Decepticons robbed a bank?
One of them was locked up because he had robbed a bank and murdered people. Like, they had to break down, like, they had the name of the Decepticon and what he was in jail for. And I'm like, I'm sitting there loose, like, what? And one made a joke, like, he's letting him out, like, yeah, you know, tell your wife I said hi. Like a Decepticon. And I'm sitting here just watching this. Yeah. And one's like, no, we can't let him go. He's too crazy even for a Decepticon. He's like, all right. Like, and they just have, like, it's like Con Air. Like, you know, this guy did this, this, and this, and he's wanted in such states. Like, it makes sense if it was a human being. And, like,
yeah.
They're there. They build him up. And at least it's noticeable. But then it's like, they die in, like, you know, a minute and a half. Optimus Prime is gone. Like, he's not even a movie for, like, two-thirds of the movie. He shows up at the beginning. He talks. He shows up again maybe 15 minutes later. And then it's, like, a good hour and change before he shows up again.
Well, he, like, disappeared in one of the other movies, too.
Like, he died in the second one. And it's like, you got the star, like, he's basically like the robot star in a movie, and for a good chunk of the movie, he's not even there. And then when he's there, he's evil for like 10 minutes, and then he's good and do his speech. Like, the girl you saw in the preview, talking about, you know, all girl power and stuff, I fight like a girl, da 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 da.
Yeah.
It's this big build up. She's in there for like the first 20, 25 minutes, and then she doesn't show up till the last 20 minutes of the movie. Like, she just vanishes. Like, the space in the movie was just all jacked up. It's like, you had people doing stuff, and then you was like, imagine you watching Fast and Furious, and like, you remember when we saw Fast 7 and we complained, like, you know, The Rock's in there in the beginning and then he doesn't show up at the end. And the least excuse was, you know, they had to change filming schedule, so he didn't have time to do it, and then they just used excuses like, you know, he's in the hospital. Man, he wasn't in the hospital. It's like, oh, I'll see you around. And then an hour and a half later, he just shows up. Like, that's how a lot of the stuff in the movie was just going on. Like, you know, people were just, you know, like, beside Mark Wahlberg and Anthony Hopkins, I'll give kudos to Anthony Hopkins. He looked like he was having a damn ball. Like, he was entertaining. It wasn't like one of those roles, like, I'm just sleepwalking to get a check, like some people do. It's like, he was having fun. And, like, almost where I was, like, shocked and almost distracted, like, how much effort he put in this damn movie. And it was weird where he was either, like, you know, serious Anthony Hopkins, loony crazy old man Anthony Hopkins, or Hannibal Lecter Anthony Hopkins. Like, he's telling people in the library, like, to shut the hell up and, like, in a serious tone. And, like, I was like, this is kind of intense. Why is this in a Transformer movie? And yeah, it was like one of those type of, and two quick things, like, one, Mark Wahlberg, I don't know why he wanted to have 8-pack Marvel abs, but he did, because it's funny, like, he took his shirt off, and I'm like, wow, like, he was in shape, like, he was in better shape in Transformers than he was doing Pain and Gain when he was playing a bodybuilder, which is hilarious. Like, that's, like, he was like Chris Evans, Captain America one cut, and I'm like, why? But it's funny, like, they played that role, but they play him like he's a, like, almost like he's a nerd. Like, you know, he hadn't had sex since his wife died, and everybody's saying he needs to go on a date and find a woman. I'm like, Mark Wahlberg looking like that, having trouble finding a woman, and then the woman he's with looks the way she does, and she's having trouble finding a man, and she's all clumsy. Like, she's a clumsy, smart badass, if that makes sense. And it makes no sense saying that. So, yeah, even as a Transformers fan, I couldn't even defend this movie. Like, I could not. Like, it's like, the last third is awesome. Like, it's a great spectacle, but the movie's just a mess.
So, spoiler alert, guys, here's your chance. So, you weren't joking about the Transformers meeting Harriet Tubman, were you?
Oh, let's get into that.
Because so, I turned around and told everybody at work about that. I was like, this may be a spoiler, I don't care. No. But the Transformers meet Harriet Tubman.
No, they had posters throughout history, like all the thing they were involved with. Like, so Harriet Tubman doesn't actually show up as a character, but it's like, but it's like, you know, Harriet Tubman, they helped with the they show a picture.
Oh, of course they did.
No, they're like, they helped with the Underground Railroad. They helped in the Civil, like, it starts where they helped King Arthur and Merlin, like, you know, and it starts from there. And then it's like, they were throughout history, like, Bumblebee was this, you know, ally, like, super soldier during World War II. And it's like, yeah, he wasn't nice back then. He was like, apparently he was like this super soldier that was working with the Americans. Like, yeah, we kept a distance from him. I'm like, and, you know, they showed throughout history they was helping in the Civil War, the Underground Railroad, Vietnam. And it's like all
what?
These.
Oh,
yes.
God. I've like, actually been muting my mic, by the way. So
yes. Like, the Autobots were basically, like, American super soldiers, more or less. And they were hid throughout history by, like, the secret society. And just think about the whole thing. Like, Michael Bay is hilarious because it's almost like he's a right-wing liberal. If that makes any sense. Because it's kind of like, you know, he's pro-military, he's pro-guns, he thinks the government is stupid, but he talks about, like, civil rights and women empowerment, even though he's like, I need my women to be thick and show tits, but I want to be strong. Like, it makes no, like, he, it's funny where it's the same guy where he objectifies Megan Fox. So I'm surprised Megan Fox doesn't need therapy, like, considering watching those first few Transformer movies, and every woman looks like a supermodel. But then it's like, this one, the woman is like the almost the main focus of the movie. Not the little girl, the other woman running around, like, she's the key to everything, and she's like, you know, she's like Mark Wahlberg's equal. And it's like, Michael Bay's a weird guy. Like, his politics are kind of like, I like freedom, I like rights, black people are funny, I like guns, I like strip clubs, I like America, I think the government's stupid. It's like, he's like an internet, he's like two different internet memes combined. If that makes, from like the complete opposite side. So, yeah.
Never mind. They didn't explore it, I'm sure. But I want to know how they helped. Like, you know, they are giant robots. And I guess a cannonball could mess them up, but they should have just cleaned house.
Oh, they were. Yeah, they just show up, like, from no matter what time frame it was, whether it was Middle Ages or World War II, like, you know, they show up and they clear house. It's not like it's an even fight. Like, you know, the Middle Ages is King Arthur and his knights, and then all of a sudden, 12 of them, a three-headed dragon just shows up. Fighting guys that have, like, catapults. How do you think that's going to end? The dragon is a robot that shoots fire. How do you think that ends? Like, it tends to be one-sided.
Like, that, like, stuff's fine, but it almost, like, I'm, and you know me, I'm not like this, but it almost seemingly belittles, like, when you say they're part of the Civil War, and they're part of, like the Underground Railroad and this stuff, it's like...
It belittles the actions of the people who really did it?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, so did a bunch of slaves jump in a Corvette and drive across the country? I mean, this is stupid.
Yeah, it's like, what could Harriet Tubman do that Bumblebee couldn't?
Yeah.
Like, he could have ended his slavery in, like, 2 days. Yeah. And that's why it's kind of like, why did World War II take that long? You trying to tell me you had a Transformer back in the 40s? Like, and it was like, they always say, like, you know, it's just, like, two of them or maybe one or two. And, like, that's all you need.
They're shooting lasers.
Like, yeah, it's kind of like watch, like, whole thing with Watchmen, like, you know, Dr. Manhattan shows up, war's over. Yeah, that's how it's not this whole, he shows up and then, like, five, it's not like it's Wolverine where he's helping, like, Wolverine can do a lot, but it's not like he's Storm. There's only so much you can do. You got Bumblebee showing up in World War II, you don't need no damn atomic bombs, like, yeah, let me know when it's done, because what are they going to do back then? It's not like it's now, because it's like, modern day weapons can damage the Transformers like now, but back then somebody got a slingshot or they got a musket. Like, what are we doing? So, yeah.
Like, you told me that, and I don't know if you ever heard this term called deuce chills, where you're so embarrassed about something, like, you actually get, like, goosebumps and you just feel like skeevy. That's how I felt when I read that. I'm like,
Yeah, because it's funny. I wasn't even going to bring it up until he made the joke tomorrow, you know, that Harriet Tubman didn't show up. And I'm like, yeah, Harriet Tubman. Because it's funny. He said the name like, yeah, Harriet Tubman actually shows up as a being referenced to as a picture like the Autobots help with the Underground Railroad. Just saying that out loud just sounds so idiotic. Because it's like they keep – and it's funny where they care – like the funny thing is people talk about how they don't care about the mythology. They pull a lot of the mythology out. Like they use a lot of stuff from like the comics and the cartoons that you think, why would they care? Like it's not like Marvel. It's not like, you know, Captain America stuff. It's like it's Transformers. But they bring stuff that's like related to the comics or related to the cartoon, and they like modify it and change it. I wonder how it would be if a different director did this movie, or the idea, because it's something to be said. Like it's a way, like we've said this like a lot of movies. Like when I watch the movie, I'm thinking it's a way this movie could have worked. Like if somebody, like if Michael Bay had a better editor, like somebody kind of rein him in, and a better, it just shows how important screenwriting is. And I think that's letting a lot, I think that's a big thing in letting a lot of these movies down. Like no matter how good or bad director you are, if the script sucks or if the writing sucks and you don't and there's only so much you can do to change it, you're gonna be hamstrung. And when you got something like Michael Bay that's kind of like Mr. Excess, and you got something, a story written by like four or five people, and nobody's there to kind of rein it in, you get stuff like this.
I don't get how some of that made it past, like how it made it past one, the whoever the producers are, which Bay's the producer. So there's another point from that, but like nobody in the, because this is, didn't they famously come up with like a whole Transformers writing room so that they can make multiple like spinoffs now? And this had to be part of that. So how the hell did somebody say that? Like what? Like cocaine, I guess.
No,
that would speed it up. So someone's like, "That's a great idea." Then we can show them, like
Hollywood, and it's kind of like, you know, when you got a director that can, like, the last two Transformers movie made a billion worldwide.
Yeah.
And it's like, are you going to tell him no? It's like when the whole thing is, you only get told no when you stop making money. And this one seems to be like, unless they do big numbers overseas, yeah, because they're not doing well. Like, this the lowest opening since the first one. And that's saying a lot. And it's like, part of its time and part of, like, this movie's a mess. And then people say, like, oh, Transformers is critic-proof. I'm like, it is to a point. Like, the fans, if you give them what they want, they'll come in. It's like Pirates of the Caribbean. But after a while, it's like, if it's a bad movie, nobody's going to want to see it. It don't matter how much you like it. Like, I'm a Transformers fan, and I was watching this. I'm like, I'm not disappointed I saw it, but I'm like, I couldn't recommend this to anybody. I mean, I'm like, because it's kind of like, you know, like you can't use the whole, you know what you're getting into, or it's a Michael Bay movie. Because even for a Michael Bay movie, it's messy and sloppy. Like, this is not to his standards.
And that's when you were saying that the ratio kept changing. That's pretty shocking to me, because I couldn't imagine him letting that go. Unless he really was just, you know, because he keeps saying it's his last one. So unless he's just like, yeah, I'm done.
Yeah, I think he's tired. Anymore. I think it's kind of like he's tired of doing it. Because even as like he went and did Pain and Gain, he went and did 13 Hours. I think it's like he wants to stop doing it. They keep bribing him with money.
And control,
it's kind of like,
I guarantee you, yeah. Control as well.
Yeah, it's like, you know, and it's this whole thing is like, he did painting, like, you know, they let me do painting games for me to do another Transformers movie. Or it's like, if I do another Transformers movie, I can get to do something I really want to do. And it's funny where somebody that powerful still, even with like directors, it's kind of like, you know, even we say with the actors, I'll do one for them if they let me do one for me. Mm-hmm. Like, directors have the same thing. Even Michael Bay apparently has to go through that, which is shocking. But yeah, that's the story of Transformers. Like, the next movie comes out is Spider-Man, I think.
Yeah. I've been pretty lax on watching movies. It's been busy, and then we just left town last weekend on a whim. And it's funny because I want to see The Mummy on the big screen just for that plane crash. that scene looks crazy, so I want to see it on the big screen. Kind of like what you were talking about with, you know, magic of movies. I mean, well, hell, when you were a kid, and you, I mean, I remember seeing Star Wars later on, mind you, because I was only 3 when it came out, but the first time, like, at a drive-in, I believe, and, you know, the ship comes over, and then the Imperial Star Destroyer, you know, the famous beginning, as a kid, you're looking at that like, oh my god, look at that. And back then, they were all models, too, which is even crazier. Mm-hmm. That's why I still want to see The Mummy. I mean, I know it hasn't gotten exactly rave reviews or anything.
And it's a reason I haven't talked about it, because I don't want to spoil anything, because I know you wanted to see it. Yeah, I'm waiting for you to see it. Oh, what else did I see? That Tupac movie. We actually went and saw that.
Oh, you did?
Yes, we did. Darlene wanted to see it.
All right.
The only thing I can say is the person that played Tupac did the best job you could probably do, because Tupac's a hard person to do. Like, he looked like Tupac and he sounded like him. Like, he, but it's kind of like, you know, the charisma was missing, but it's like, that's why Tupac was special. Like, just looking a certain way and rapping a certain way is only so far. And it's not like, you know, NWA and Biggie Smalls, where it's not, it's the stuff around them. And then the skill. So if you get that down, you're fine. Tupac is like being a person. It's almost kind of like Johnny Cash. Like, looking like Johnny Cash and playing guitar is not enough if you don't get the vibe. And that part was missing. And it just seemed like it was just a Lifetime movie with a big budget. Like, they just jumped from this scene to that scene to this scene. Like, you know, 5 minutes. Like, you see them, you know, moms get out of the jail while she's pregnant. And then they see, you know, Tupac's born, and then the feds come and, you know, break down the door. And then you see him as a teenager seeing somebody get beat up. And then you see him leaving, going to the West Coast and leaving Jada Pinkett. And then you see him rapping, and then he gets locked up. And then he meets Biggie Small. And it's funny, the same actor they got to do Notorious, when he played Biggie Small's Notorious movie, they got him again in this movie.
Oh, nice. Hey, good for him.
I had never seen. It's not the same. It's funny, that's not the same studio. I've never, like, that's the first time I can remember. Yeah, it's kind of like, yeah, like, imagine somebody that played, like, a president in one movie showed up to play that same president in a different movie run by a different studio. Like, it was just funny seeing that, because he was like, he did a good job doing it, and, but it just kept jumping from stuff to stuff. Like, the music definitely holds up, and I was just getting angry and sad more than anything, because I'm like, no, not even at the movie. And I think that's what people was kind of missing the point, where they was like focusing on, like, the movie did get like a lot of details wrong. That part wouldn't even bother me as much. It's kind of like, he never had a chance. It, like, if you really think about, like, how he was, the circumstances from how he was born and all the stuff he went through and him dying, like, it's a shame that we had somebody that was so talented just snatched away. Like, he was just, like, you just think about, like, he's an awesome actor. And he was, like, super, like, he was trained. Like, he went to, like, the School of Arts. So he was trained. It wasn't, like, some guy that, like, kind of wonk it. Like, he was intelligent, passionate. Like, he had a lot of damn talent. And just imagine the stuff he could be doing now. And it was just, like, wiped away over his stupid rat beef.
So is that where the movie ends? Just him dying.
The movie ends with him dying.
Okay.
Like, him getting shot and dying, and then that's it. And they break him out. Like, you know, he was 25.
Wait, he was only 25 years old?
Yes. Him and Biggie Smalls were young. That's the whole thing. Like, him and Tory B.I.G. were like in their early mid 20s when they died.
See, I was telling you the thing last show we were talking about. I don't know much about him. I mean, I couldn't. Was a California Love, California Dream, whatever, with him and Dr. Dre. That's honestly, that was my exposure to him. My roommate listened to him. Okay. Just never, it never sunk in. So it kind of blows the movie stinks, because that would have been a nice place to jump on, I guess. But
yeah, but it's,
I had
funny.
No idea he was only 25.
Yeah, 25. It's like these, and it was like he died and Biggie Smalls died, and everybody was like, we need this. Like, imagine if it was basketball and Larry Bird and Magic Johnson died at like 80, after like the 86 finals. That's basically what happened with rap, because they were like the two biggest stars and they were just gone.
Yeah.
And it's like, what are we, and it's kind of like everybody, because before it's like, you know, this is cool, it's exciting, and da-da-da-da-da, and then it's like, what are we doing? Like, we need to cut this out, and it was people saying that, like, y'all need to cut this out, it's going to end bad, and nobody was listening, and then all of a sudden they started listening, because after that, it was like, you know what, yeah, enough's enough. And it's just funny just thinking, like, that's what it took, and that's what got me mad. It's like, it was just such a damn waste. Like, him and B's, like, over misunderstanding and ego and everybody and instigating. Like, that's why I get mad at Twitter, because Twitter does that now, and I'm like, thank God Twitter wasn't out then, because it'd be a lot, because it'd be a lot more people dead now. I just think about sometimes, like, I'm glad Twitter wasn't out in the 90s, like, during that time, because you just think about stuff goes on now and how people just instigate and exacerbate and just push and pride, and it's like, people pay attention to that stuff, especially young people with pride, and it's like, oh, you said this, I'm going to show them. I'm going to show everybody. Like, we talked about it, like, in sports. Like, I can't get mad at Kevin Durant, because look how people talked about LeBron James. Or look how they talk about Chris Paul. You can't be this whole winning is the only thing. If you don't win a title, you garbage, and it doesn't matter. And then get mad when somebody's like, okay, I'm going to go win a ring. Oh, why he do it that way? It's like, he got one. It's like, you can't say it's the only thing to get mad when somebody believe it. It's like, can't get mad at somebody if you tell them they're special, and then they say, you know, I'm special, then you call them arrogant. What are we doing?
Well, that's the whole thing. People want to hear athletes. They always say, well, we want athletes to speak their mind. And then they do. And then we're like, well, you know, you're an athlete, just shut up. Yeah. It's always that way. And especially the Durant thing, he didn't do anything wrong. Like, there was no, he didn't hold out a contract, he didn't hold out, he didn't demand a trade, he didn't half-ass it, he didn't do any of this stuff. He used what the union and the league collectively bargained so that he could be a free agent and go wherever the hell he wanted to.
And it's hilarious where it's kind of like they get on him. We get on athletes when athletes are greedy and they don't care about winning and they just want to make the most money available. They say, oh, he's just chasing money, even though it's a job and most people chase money. But then people take pay cuts and take less because they want to work together as a team. And then they get mad at that. It's like, you know what I noticed? People get mad about those teams because the players are deciding it. If the coaches and general managers decide, like, oh, you know, they were just smart. It's smart planning, even though the draft is a crapshoot. It's like, they don't mind if a team does it, but when players decide we want to work together to do it, then all of a sudden it's an issue. And it's this whole provincial, parochial thing, like, I need ownership, or I need, these people need to be guided and controlled, and they don't want them acting like adults by themselves, even though any adult would love to have the fact that they can control themselves.
Listen to kind of the nature of coaching, at least at a professional level, that you want to control everything because, you know, the stakes involved, especially the money involved as well for coaches.
Guess what? My boss is my boss. I still get to pick whatever job I want. Like, it wasn't where I was drafted by this job, and now I'm there, and I got to do 5 years. Like, if I want to go to a better job, I can leave. Once I go to a different job, there's people above me, and they set, you know, protocol and rules, and I follow them. But it's still like, you know, I'm an employee, not a slave or nothing. It's not like the military where you're drafting. It's like, you know, it's like, but the whole, it's funny with sports. Like, sports is a funny thing. And the older I get, the more ridiculous it kind of looks, how people, what hills people tend to die on. And then revisionist history always gets on my nerves. This whole such and such when it did that and everything. It's like, one, yes, they would. And then two, it's like saying George Mikan wouldn't use a cell phone. Cell phones didn't exist. Of course he wouldn't. Like, why? You saying stuff that, you know, this whole, well, Michael Jordan wouldn't have did this. I'm like, pre-agency didn't exist back then, so he couldn't have. And it's like, so what are we doing? Like, people say this whole super team stuff. It's like, I'm a Sixers fan, and it was before my time. The Sixers went to the finals a couple years in a row, had Julius Erving, and they traded for Moses Malone, who had just won the MVP. Wins another MVP to win the title. Nobody complained. Imagine that happened now. Like, that's basically what Golden State did. And everybody lost their mind. Like, how could they do that? I'm like, teams have done that before, and no one complained. Like, the Lakers and Celtics didn't get good by accident. The Bulls didn't get good by accident. It's this whole... And then I know something that Cam pointed out to me. A lot of people on Twitter are like 30 and below, 30 and younger.
Yes, that's why. So, I'm getting on Twitter.
Yeah, so it's a lot of young people that have no idea, like, how stuff really was, and all they got is Google. And, like, Google just tell you numbers. It's different if you actually saw it. And like, Google doesn't tell you context. Wikipedia doesn't tell you details. It's different between reading something and actually seeing, experiencing it. So when I hear certain things, like, I remember, oh, it's somebody that's 27 years old. So he didn't really start watching basketball till like 2003. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, he's going to think that way. So what do I expect? It's like, I wouldn't argue with a... It's like me arguing with a 70-year-old about Jerry West. I wouldn't even... Like, he watched Jerry West. I wasn't even alive yet. Like, I can watch a video, but I wasn't there. It's only so much I'm going to know.
I just drew a blank. Damn it. Especially with the NBA, it's funny you say about Twitter and that, because that's... I think when people talk about social media and complaints on social media, it's always Twitter. And I'm like, cool. So a bunch of people who haven't done anything with their lives, you know, besides, you know, hey, I went hiking and I saw them. I was like, oh, cool. But you get on now, and the people on Twitter don't have... I'm trying to figure out what my thought was, because I just lost it again, by the way. God damn it. The context of everything is now lost, and it's funny because even, like, the Pistons had their run, the Bad Boys, when, you know, they got robbed, and they should have won three in a row. They got robbed. And they were carefully put together, but then they brought in pieces as well. They got rid of Adrian Bantley and brought in Mark McGuire, which was a giant trade back then. But no one cares. And also, like, with Michael Jordan, it's where athletes now are... Well, now, yeah, athletes now are held up to one person. In each sport, they're always held to one person. Mm-hmm. And really, it's kind of like that in life, because, like, you were always talking, like, Martin Luther King's every white person's favorite black guy. You know, you pick on that one person. Like, he's the one, or she's the one, mostly he's, are elevated this high. Mm-hmm. They wouldn't have done this. Well, listen, Jordan, he took less money on the Bulls so that he could keep winning. Sure, that's true. But he's also getting paid $200 million a year by Nike. So he doesn't need that basketball money. There's a difference.
And the money was different. It was like, yes, players were underpaid for the longest. It's like, it's a reason, like, Jordan's last year in the Bulls, he made, like, more than, like, I think, every year before that combined salary-wise. It's like, you know what? Yeah, I'm tired of making this $2, $3 million crap. Where's my $30 million check? And nobody complains, like, yeah, it's Michael Jordan. He's been underpaid his whole career. And it's like, imagine Michael Jordan's career now. It's like, this is a guy that left basketball for 2 years. And those, the rumors, like, he got suspended. But, and I always laugh at those rumors. I'm like, you really think if Kobe Bryant was doing a rape case and then get suspended, you think the biggest athlete on the planet would have got suspended, secret suspension, and nobody would have hurt, like, it wouldn't have leaked? You really think that would have flew? Like,
see, I always thought it was he was going to be suspended, and that's why he took off.
Why would they suspend him?
I don't know.
Yeah, that's the whole thing. Like, I know, I can see it was the NFL because they knocked people for game four. Like, it's Michael Jordan. Barkley was throwing people through glass windows. And he got suspended for a game. I'm like, I know it's gambling, but it's like, it's Michael Jordan. Like, Michael, Space Jam, Michael Jordan. I'm in Michael Jacksonville, Michael Jordan. I'm the biggest athlete and probably the third or second most popular person on the planet, Michael Jordan. He just gonna not play for 2 years, and it's gonna be, oh, wink and a nudge. It's cool. It's like, people don't realize how big Michael Jordan. That's like if LeBron just, oh, you know, he was gambling on esports and something like that, so he gonna be gone for a year. And everyone be like, oh, okay. Like, really? Like, no. This whole, well, like, Michael Jordan didn't even play basketball for 2 years. And he didn't start winning titles till the Lakers, Pistons, and Celtics all got old. And he got help. And it's not like this whole idea, like you get on Twitter, it's like they swear he came in from day one. Like, yeah, it took him 7 years to win a title. He was getting swept in the first round for a few years. He didn't make the playoffs 1 year. It's like it took a, and they used to talk about Michael Jordan saying, you know, all he does is score. He's not a team player. They used to dog Michael Jordan. Like, now Michael Jordan walks on water and sips the sun. But back then they used to like back then they used to trash Michael Jordan. But it was like, if you weren't alive, you didn't hear, you wouldn't know that. And it's the same thing, like, when they, I laugh when they compare Jordan and LeBron James. I'm like, LeBron James is like the first Twitter athlete, the first one that grew up in social media from Jump Street. And somehow he didn't, look at his life and look at Tiger Woods' life. And look how, and look at them now. Like, you know, it's one, they were both super successful prodigies, and one personally is doing a lot better than the other one. And there's a reason for that. It's like, you know, Tiger Woods was hanging, like, had the Michael Jordan personality, and but Twitter and social media is around, and his body fell apart, and his life fell apart. And look at Tiger Woods. LeBron James seemed to be doing just fine. You never heard it. His biggest scandal was him being passive-aggressive and, like, acting like a jerk, but he never had, like, a DUI or scan, like, gambling scandals or, you know. Imagine LeBron James punched a teammate during practice. Like Jordan has more than once. Like, you know, oh, practice come out, he punched Kevin Love in the face because Kevin Love wasn't working hard enough. Can you imagine how that would fly now? But back then, he, like, we love sociopaths when they win. People point, like, because it's this whole Michael, yeah, he not a killer like Kobe Bryant. Like,
you better watch your terminology when it comes to Kobe Bryant, first off.
Yeah, kind of like, yeah, it's like, you know, Kobe Bryant really wants it. He doesn't let anybody stop him. I'm like,
he takes what he wants.
Yeah, yeah, that's gotten him in trouble before. Like, it's funny where it says a lot about human character, where it's like people that you wouldn't want in your house or want to be friends with, you would want them to lead you. I don't necessarily want a sociopath to lead me and look up to them. Like, that's the time and place for that. It's like we deify negative qualities, if you know, the ends justify the means type thing.
It's kind of along those lines. It's from athletes. Where do you stand with, I'm sure it'll be
Money in the Bank fan,
but where do you stand with athletes when, like, Yasiel Puig just got suspended a game for flipping people off? Mr. Met just got fired. I know it's a mascot. Like, all that sort of stuff. I'll lay it right now. I love it. And I don't think any bad should come of that.
Yeah, it's... But... Think about all the stuff they go through. It's like, you want them to act like bankers. You go there, and you got all these drunk fans that screaming whatever and shouting and talking about them and their mom and their soul and yada, yada, yada. And you can't... You sort of like, oh, this... You get paid a lot of money. I'm like, guess what? Robert Downey Jr. makes a lot of money, too. If I ran up to him like, you know what? Iron Man 2 was trash. I don't need a refund. I'd get arrested. Mm-hmm. But in sports, it's like, oh, did we just allow that? That's fine. And he just wanted to take it. But as soon as they say something back, people be like, oh, I felt right. How dare he? And it always, in the one baseball, that's one reason why I can't stand baseball. This whole unspoken rule.
Yeah.
And it's a right way to play. And it's like, somebody hits a home run because you didn't do your job right. And the unspoken rule is you're going to hit them with a ball next time. It's like, imagine if you dunked on somebody and next time they went up, you try to take their knee out. Like, well, no.
That's how it used to be.
Yeah, that's why it's not like that anymore. Yeah. It's like, and it's funny where certain sports fighting is cool and other sports fighting is not, and they have certain demographics, but we'll leave that well known. It's like, this whole baseball always gets on my nerves, because this whole, you gotta do things the right way. I'm like, what way? The way back when black people couldn't play, or the way when everybody was taking speed, or the way everybody was taking steroids? Like, what era was, you know, you got a 50-year-old man wearing a uniform grabbing a crotch, spitting out sunflower seeds, talking about decorum? Like, give me a damn break. Like, imagine if you watching basketball and Pat Riley had on, like, a jersey on.
Okay, yeah. I've noticed a lot of times now, baseball managers, even, like, the in-shape guys, they're wearing some other sort of shirt now. Now, mind you, yeah, they're still wearing the bad pants, but even those have gotten baggy, at least, nowadays. But I remember, like, Earl Weaver, God, that was an old one. Who was the old guy that was he was a Yankees bench coach, but he was a Cubs coach for the longest time.
Don Zimmer? Yeah.
Like, you look stupid.
Wilding around like the Penguins.
Yes.
Right? Like, imagine you watching a Red Wings game and Scotty Bowman's up there with a helmet and skates. Like, what?
Yeah.
Like, what are we? And that's baseball. And everybody's like, oh, that's just the way we do things. I'm like,
change.
It looks ridiculous. You look like you're a grown man. You look stupid.
Even the players finally were like, we're not wearing tight pants anymore. Like, this is ridiculous. Even the players have gotten rid of it. But it's like, I know what you were getting at with the fighting thing. Here's the thing. And I we weren't old enough to know this, but apparently late 70s, early 80s, that there used to be fights all the time in the NBA, and it actually drove the crowd away.
Oh, I was old enough because I remember the 80s, the big one was Moses Malone, Barkley, and Dr. Day jumped Larry Bird.
Oh, no, I don't
see. They were fist fighting, like one of them was like one of them had was felt like Larry Bird, like a full Nelson, while like Dr. Dave was tagging him.
Damn, that's some
yes.
that's some push shit. Wait, where's Robert Parrish? What the hell's Kevin McHale doing? Just stand there.
They got there 3 seconds later.
Oh,
like,
okay.
So they used to brawl like back in the '80s. Like that used to be a thing. No, fighting went out of style because of what happened with Auburn Hills.
Yeah,
because even in the '90s, like. The Knicks and the Heat, like
yes.
It wasn't like Oshawa. It was like Van Gundy getting dragged. He grabbed somebody's leg and they punched. Like that used to be a thing. It's like it got to a point where now the fans getting involved. It's like if you run on the court and you're not a player,
you're in trouble.
Yeah, you should get punched in the face. Like I remember watching. It's funny. I remember watching that game because I had just got home from work and it's like the game and I'm like, why am I watching this game? So I'm watching it happen and I'm like. What in the world am I watching? Like, first I see Ron Artest and Ben Wallace, like, get into it. Then Ron Artest land on the table. And then you see somebody threw a beer and it lands near him. And then he just runs up in the stands and it's on.
And dumbass and grabs the wrong person.
They looking. He didn't know. It was like,
yeah, I know.
Kid.
But it's like, even the guy's like, I don't know what you're doing here. Which, But
and then fans are running on the court and like, would you really want to fight Steven Jackson, Jermaine? You want to fight a 6'10 power forward?
Hey, when there's five of us and one of him, I'll take my chances.
Well, guess what? It was they see the first one get knocked out like the other four is like, you know what? I'm going to my car because that's what happened. They was running on the court and getting their clock clean.
And see, I like, think all that stuff is healthy. I think that's good because one, The moral of all that should have been what you just said. You want to take on a 6'10" power forward? This is what happens. So maybe if you put that message out there a little bit more than, hey, the player shouldn't go in the stands, maybe this type of behavior would have stopped already.
Yeah, how about the fans shouldn't come on the court? I wouldn't want to be, I'm minding my business watching the game, and then all of a sudden Charles Oakley up in me because the guy two rows ahead of me threw a beer, and he about to punch me. Like, I just came to watch basketball, so that part I get. But at the same time, you run on the court, that's your ass. Like, unless it's a fire and you got to go on the court to get to the exit, you got no business being there. Mind your business. And you're going to go in there, you want to square up with Ron Artest and Steven Jackson, you get whatever that's happened to you. It's like the same thing. We both watch wrestling. When fans get in the ring, they're supposed to, all bets off. They get their ass beat.
Well, I just watched the Rob Van Dam Eddie Guerrero ladder match where that fan came in. And they grab the fan, and Guerrero just comes across the ring and punches him straight in the nose. And I have zero sympathy. Like, that's what you get. So the player's going in the stands, obviously. Mm-hmm. But one of the things is, they use that as like fodder for promo material for games. And even there wasn't there the famous like Boston, Philadelphia, the Bruins players went into the crowd to go after some guys.
Mm-hmm.
They don't really talk about that much anymore, but that was another one. Like that was part of that Broad Street Bullies thing, I believe.
Yeah. Or when the fans are pour water over somebody in a penalty box, like a Ty Domi, and he's like, yeah, I'm going to get payback. It's like, don't do that. Like, you go to the – and I don't even want to use the zoo analogy. you stick your head in a, like that when that sea otter, like that kid got snatched up by that sea otter, like that sea lion. Yeah. Yeah. The second part of the name is lion. Mm-hmm. That's what you get. Yeah. And that's what everybody says, kind of like, you know, that lion. I made a joke about that sea lion got paid back for Harambee. But it's like, you can't stick your head in, like, you can't, don't be messing with these people.
Wasn't the sea lion just on a dock, though?
It was in the water, and the kid's like leaning over like a bridge or something, and a sea lion just swoops in and it snatched it. Yep. and grabs it in the water, and then all of a sudden they let them go. Like, nothing's wrong with the kid.
The sea lion was like, I'm just proving a point. Mm-hmm. Well, it's also like seals, sea lions, all that stuff. Because of SeaWorld, which, you know, I used to work there, so I firsthand. They make these animals who are dangerous. They have sharp teeth, and they have, like, long canine teeth for a reason. It's not to smile funny. It's to tear flesh open. But yet, we put a ball on their nose, and they dance around, and we're like, oh, look, they're harmless. No, back off. They're not harmless in any stretch of the imagination. Even a sea otter, those little bastards will bite the shit out of you. Because they used to get loose at SeaWorld all the time. So we'd have a specific code on our radios if we saw it, and then be like, "Hey, we saw, you know, the pizza deliveries here over at whatever." Because you don't want you don't want someone walking by knowing. Those trainers would go and get it, and as well behaved as they are on stage, they bite the shit out of those guys when they try to pick them up, because they want, well, one, they want to be free, but it's just the nature of it. So that's like trying to go all the way back now. When you're constantly cussing at these guys, or even like with, what was it, Adam Jones in Boston, guys yelling racial slurs.
I gotta see it.
I don't get how, like, I'm guessing this guy was out of reach. That'd be a hard thing to deal with, and not just go over and punch that motherfucker in the face.
I mean, unfortunately, you get to a point where you're used to hearing it, and it's like, you know what,
that's a terrible ass world.
It is. Yeah. And it's like, you know what? Because it's like, well, if I go in there and say something, I know I'm going to get in trouble. And they're going to, it don't matter what the person do. Because it's like, you know, it's always the person that retaliates that gets in trouble, not the person that instigate, like, even and whatever. And then it's like, people are like, surprised. I'm like, it's Boston. Like, Boston's not the only racist city in America. Like, Boston has a reputation for being racist. But Boston wants to act like, oh, I'm like, Bill Russell is one of your greatest athletes, and he talked about it. Like, he went through it, and he talked about it. I'm like, that's, you know, like, it happens. Like, how many people got to say it, and then like, oh, well, I can't believe it. I need proof. Why would somebody make that up? Like, you don't get, like, not, Adam, don't not go get sympathy for that, because most of the time people don't even, either they don't believe him or they don't care. It's like, it's not a frame job where he's going to get a check because somebody called him the N-word. Like, that's not how it works, because we all be rich if it worked that way. So, but yeah, it's like, sports is a funny thing. And it's like, it makes its money based on the fact that the people that root for it are lunatics.
I also think, well, I think the lunatics have been kind of marginalized now. Because if you ever, I mean, when's the last time you've gone to a game? Like, my biggest thing right now is the minor league games here. All they talk about is family friendly. I'm like, oh my God. Except Thirsty Thursday, which I don't understand that either. When you can serve, like, dollar beers and get your clientele smashing drunk and then cut it off at the seventh inning. Because, you know, in baseball, if you've had a beer every inning, that 27 minutes for the last two are going to sober you up. Anyways, but no, it's like they always promote the family-friendly thing, and that's where I think, like, the real lunatics now go to the bars. I mean, you still got some. Don't get me wrong, but it's that like corporate homogenization of it all, and so that's why, like, even with the Adam Jones thing, some guy going and yelling that crap, or people, apparently it's more than one, because I guess it happened the next day, because, you know, you got to retaliate for a lost cause. I don't even think lost cause is probably the wrong terminology, but
no, that's the right, that's okay. The perfect terminology. Mm-hmm. And it's funny, it's kind of like, not only that, the person felt comfortable enough to be at a baseball game,
yeah,
and say that out loud around people. It's like, you either gotta be drunk or have some real, like, it's gonna be cool, nobody gonna say anything. Because certain things, like, you might say that, like, on a message board when it's anonymous, or even in your house. You out in public, and it's not like you had a cookout, and you're not like you had a clam meeting. You had a baseball game. It's like, you just gonna shout that out, and just, like, what they gonna do to me? Like, that says a lot about the person. That says a lot about the environment where they thought that was cool, and people was like, oh, I didn't, I was shy. No, because they said, like, some people, enough people wasn't cool because they snitched on them. So that's something, because a lot of times it's like, oh, I don't know who did it. And then they say as soon as, like, you know, oh, that we're going to stick together because the hell with them. But, yeah.
Yeah,
oh.
That is I never even thought of that perspective of being that comfortable around strangers, you know, to be like, yeah, no, I got this. And then to think that everybody around you, like, I guess if you're deluded enough to still be in that frame of mind anyways, that you would probably think the people around you are thinking the same way as you.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, no, that's really not the case. But I don't know. Like, in that case, if Adam Jones would have gone in the crowd and jacked him, he would have got in trouble. And then we would have had an expose. We would have saw the whole Ron Artest stuff all over again. Instead of going, no, the behavior problem is with the crowd, not the players.
But the weight's always on the individual, because it's like, well, you got to know better. You got to be better. And I always laugh because I deal with that at work, because it's like we deal, because the health field has a bunch of antisocial weirdos that don't know how to talk to people. And it's always like, well, they're just that way for a reason. I'm like, what reason? Like,
what choice did they make?
Yeah, it's like, well, if they're that way, why can't I be that way? I'm a doctor, too. It's like, oh, you got to be better than that. Oh, so you want me to be better than them? I'm like, you see where this thought process is going? Because it's going to lead to a thing where either I get to act like them because nothing's happening to them and I'm on the same level or higher, or I need to be better than them but pretend that I'm not. I'm like, if you want me to act better than them, I'm going to act all the way better than them. And that's going to also have consequences. It's like, you can't have it both ways. And people try to have it both ways, where it's like, you know, they want them to be these saints with no personalities, but then get offended when they actually act that way. Like, they want everybody to be Derek Jeter. That's basically like, you know, don't say nothing and play, and we can present you any way we want. Like, Derek Jeter look like a saint. This womanizer's knocked down every model ethnic actress from, like, the 90s to 2017. And, like, but it's like, you know, he never said anything wrong. He did things the Yankee way. He's so nice. It's like, if you don't say anything or do anything, like, out and about, people will give you a pass. It's like, because look how he's looked. And, like, the people who try to be nice, like, that want people to like him, like A-Rod and Dwight Howard, end up being hated because they look at as fake. The people who don't say anything get liked, and assholes who win get liked. Because Russell Westbrook is beloved, and he's a prick. Like, Kobe Bryant start being liked more when he start acting like a jerk. Is like, because it's like, oh, well, he's real, he's authentic. People like that real stuff. As long as you're successful, they like that, you know, which is funny. But it's funny because you wouldn't want, like, Conor McGregor is popular because he's that way. Conor McGregor is probably going to be a pain in the ass to be around. Like, imagine going to a bar and something like that's just around. Like,
yeah.
It's like, I want to punch him in the face.
Well, especially knowing he probably travels with an entourage that takes care of all of his problems. So he'll talk shit, and then some guys 14 times the size of him will get in between whoever he's starting trouble with. Because you know he ain't risking that stuff. And, I guess to round the show out, there's part of me that really wants to see him win that Floyd Mayweather thing. There's a very big part of me that doesn't. Because if he somehow wins...
How insufferable he'd be.
Oh.
It's like, but then the whole thing is like, it's all these people making bets. I'm like, what are y'all doing?
Mm-hmm.
Like, did no one see the Great White Hype? Like, watch that movie. That's exactly what's happening. And I'm watching this, and I'm laughing. I'm like, I never thought I'd see this in real life. Like, not the fight, but the idea of people making chance, like, you know, maybe if this happens, or maybe if that. I'm like, he's not fighting, you know.
He's not a boxer.
Like, He's not only a boxer. He's fighting a world class boxer. Mm-hmm. Like, I know Mayweather's old. Mayweather's not 50. Like, Mayweather's and it's not like Mayweather's fighting a young up and coming boxer. Mayweather's fighting a guy that boxed when he's like 9. Like, and we've seen, like, what do people think is going to happen? Like, oh, maybe he'll get lucky and hit him with a lucky shot. And, but you think, like, he's going to knock him, like, he's going to hit him with a lucky shot and knock him out? Like, since when has that happened with Floyd Mayweather? Like, what are we doing? Like, Conor McGregor is a good boxer by UFC standards. Floyd Mayweather is one of the best defensive boxers in the history of boxing. Like, history. And boxing's been happening for a long time. Like, he's made people that are Hall of Famers look stupid. That are Hall of Fame boxers. Conor McGregor is just some, like, it's like, people make the joke of LeBron James could play football, but he couldn't just show up and, like, I'm going to be wide receiver for the Cowboys, like, tomorrow. Like, it doesn't work that way. Like, Floyd Mayweather, if he wants to, might murder Conor McGregor. More likely, he's just going to tag him for 12. People going to get mad.
Yep.
He's gonna black both his eyes, and if he doesn't try to go for the knockout, and people going to get mad. You know, they should know him better. Like, make excuses. Like, maybe he might get lucky. And maybe, like, has Conor McGregor ever fought 12 rounds before? Do people not realize that? Like, that's a long-ass time. It's a reason boxers run 5 to 10 miles every single day.
How long,
like,
is a boxing round? 3 minutes?
3 minutes.
Yeah,
12 rounds. Is, you know, like,
yeah,
you
that's,
see, like,
that's
the UFC,
double what a U.
That's way more, because you think about.
Well, remember,
it,
UFC, like, rounds 5 minutes, and there's, yeah, and a championship's five, so it's 25 minutes. So
25, it's almost double, still, and it's like, yeah. And most, and how many of those fighters, like, by the time they get to round three or round four, are like,
yep.
Like that, yeah. Like, McGregor be getting winded by round two. How do you think he gonna look in a boxing match? It's like round five, round six.
Yeah.
And he just sucking, like, I hope I don't have a heart attack. And Mayweather going to be there laughing. Like, I'm about to make $200 million to embarrass this bum that's been running his mouth. And McGregor gets paid, so if he loses, it doesn't hurt him. And so it's like...
Yeah, see, I got my theory on that. I know they've been talking and all this stuff. You think for 1 second these two aren't both just telling each other, we're getting paid. Like,
oh,
you know,
guess what? It might. I know people thinking, like, oh, maybe we'll just take it easy. No, Floyd Mayweather is not going to take it easy. He got, because one, he has one. Floyd Mayweather is a prick. Like, he likes getting paid, but he, you know, he got too much of a mean streak to, like, he ain't taking it easy. He ain't taking no dive. He gonna go on there and try to embarrass him. He's gonna do it based on a pride matter, a boxing matter, and quote unquote a racial matter. Like, this whole, this great white hope from another sport is not going to come and embarrass Floyd Mayweather in his hometown. And most people going to be rooting against Floyd Mayweather because Floyd Mayweather is not a likable person.
Yeah.
At all. Like, forget the whole domestic violence stuff. It's like, you got this little man that fights this quote unquote cowardly style that doesn't like getting hit and brags about his money. Doesn't knock people out. It's like, he's very hateable, and he's gonna have a lot of people betting money to see him get beat, and they're gonna be very disappointed knowing that, like, I thought I was gonna see something.
Yeah, the second they announced this, I was like, I don't get why we're doing this, but
people want to see it,
and that's what I don't understand. Because we know that, we know how this is gonna work out. You know, no. You know, there's
sports fans know it's not for the sports fans. They said, like, you know, the majority of the bets have come in for McGregor. The majority of the money has come in for Mayweather. Like, people with money that know better know how this is going to end. These suckers that don't know, or these people thinking they hoping against hope, maybe McGregor might do it. He's young. I seen him. He's Magic Mac. Da, 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 da. And it's like, people going to spend $100.
Wait, is that the guy off from Mike Tyson's Punch-Out?
No, that's little Mac. But they
okay. Going, same thing. Uh-oh, I think I killed him. I think the Mike Tyson's Punch-Out knocks Shahid off. So, hang on a second. Oh, welcome back.
Welcome back.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, I was talking, my headphone, like, the headphone amp like slid off the desk, and then my computer just turned off.
I thought it was when I mentioned Little Mac or whatever what the hell was his name. Mm-hmm. It was the timing was spot on. So, but yeah, there's no chance. If this was a UFC bout, I'd be the exact same way in the other direction.
Yeah, there'd be no chance. But it's funny, people will talk themselves into anything, because it's like, it wasn't too long ago when people were saying maybe Ronda Rousey would have a, like, they want to see Ronda Rousey fight Floyd Mayweather.
Who the hell was saying that?
You don't remember that talk? When Ronda Rousey was basically, like, at the peak of her powers, and right before she was in the Expendables, and just, and Fast Six, just going through folders, like, because one is like, you know, show that woman beat her what for, and it's like, oh, Ronda Rousey's right. The toughest thing on the planet, and I'm like, you really want to see a man fight a woman in a combat sport? Yeah. You really want, because one is like, why would Floyd Mayweather do that? What would he get out of beating up a woman? Like, you really want, like, let's think about the optics on that. Like, one, if he lost, he'd get shamed forever. If he won, he'd get shamed forever. Like, how dare you? You basically, quote unquote, beat up a girl and got paid for it. And just think about the caveman industry would have loved that, because, like, you know, put these bras in their place. But other than that, it's like, yeah, people think, well, it's different between saying something and actually saying it.
Yeah, I'm fine with never seeing, like, man woman violence. I'm fine with that. So. That would have held zero appeal if that were to ever have happened. Like, nah.
Yeah, I'm like, Lucha Underground's enough. And even in sometimes, we've talked about before, when they really have it, it kind of, like, gets the uncomfortable range. And that's, like, quote-unquote fantasy land. Seeing that in real life, like, I'll see that in a movie. Like, I'll watch in a movie. Real life, nope.
No.
No, I want to see it.
I don't really like it in movies anymore. I mean, not that I did before. I don't like it in movies. I don't think it's like the most horrible thing ever, but I just don't like it.
I think it's because it's kind of, it's hard to do in a way that doesn't look either sexist or just uncomfortable. Because stuff's more like, John Wick's the last movie where I've seen where they, like the first one, where that's like, you saw a man fight a woman and it seemed like it was like an even fight. And then it seemed like sexist or misogynist, yeah. Like that. And you know, it's like a lot of these movies now, with action movies, they have women, if they have women fighting, they're fighting other women.
Yeah. I'm fine with that. You know, I like my violence fake, and I don't feel like... I don't know.
Speaking of that, I don't know if we have time for it. I know you want to talk about wrestling. That whole Money in the Bank thing... I'm probably the only person or one of the people that did not have a problem with that, how that ended, because I've been hearing and you know the funny thing is, I'm not even mad at the people that are mad about it. I understand exactly how they feel and like where they're coming from. I'm not even there to tell them they're wrong, because it's like, I'm not going to tell a woman, like, especially if you're a woman and you see that, of course you're going to feel a certain way. My whole thing was, that's the point. Like, why, that's the thing that got me about it, is kind of like, they told the story exactly the way they wanted to tell it, and it worked. I mean, it's a sucky story. It's like, the whole thing is like, you know, you have your first, you know, women ladder, like Money in the Bank match, and it's won by a man, and that's the whole vibe. And it's like, well, why, and where you go from there? I'm like, think about this. And I love that Carmella cut that promo she cut, because the whole thing is like, everybody's talking about the Divas Revolution and womanhood and teamwork, and I'm talking about me.
Mm-hmm.
When have we not seen that in real life? Like, there's plenty of women that's like, you know what, forget this feminism crap, I'm trying to get mine. Like, y'all talking about doing, y'all trying to get birth control, I'm trying to become CEO, I don't care how I do it. It's plenty of women like that that'll kick their fellow women down the curb to get ahead, like, easy. And a lot of them will use a man to do it. Like, plenty of them will use a man to do it, and they have no qualms whatsoever. Is it a sucky reality? Yes. Is it reality? Also yes. And then it's like, it's Carmella. Like, That's her character. She's been using a man when she can. Out of the five there, she's the least capable wrestler.
Yeah.
Why wouldn't she, like, you know, this whole, why wouldn't she? It's like, and then the fact that we've been talking about this match, and it up through the whole week, it overshadowed the title match. It overshadowed the fact that Baron Corbin will be world champion one day, because he won. Yeah. And you don't hear anybody talking about that. It's like, this guy. Like, you just roll your eyes. It's kind of like, and think about how Baron Corbin, like he started the match by beating up Shinsuke Nakamura, the guy everybody wanted to see, and then comes in and ruined Nakamura wrestling AJ Styles, the match everybody wants to see, and snuck his way to getting it. And it's like, oh, that's Hill 101. Carmella did it, and it's like, oh, she got a... I'm like, is it bothering you because it was the first match, or is it the fact that a man helped a woman win? Because, like, if Maryse helped Miz do that, would we be complaining? I ask people like that.
No.
I'm like,
yeah.
I'm like, if she climbed up, because I'm like, we've seen men help men in Money in the Bank matches all the time. We've seen men, like Triple H basically handed the world title to both Randy Orton and Kevin Owens. Like,
he literally handed it to Kevin Owens.
Yeah, like that whole, and he came in with Randy Orton cashing the Money in the Bank, and basically, not only he cashed it in, Triple H lays out Daniel Bryan while he's the referee right after Daniel Bryan has had a long-ass match with John Cena. And it's like, and the whole aspect of Money in the Bank is basically a heel thing to begin with. Yeah. It's like, it is nothing beside when John Cena cashed in and Rob Van Dam cashed in. It's nothing heroic about cashing in a briefcase after somebody just got beat up to get an easy win.
Well, hell, remember, they had to turn CM Punk heel because he did that to Jeff Hardy.
Mm-hmm.
And because it was a face, he came out and was like, wait, what? And he didn't. He got such a strong negative reaction. They had to change. They had to turn the heel.
Dean Ambrose is the last babyface to get away with doing that. And that's because people love Dean Ambrose. And it was funny, like, you know, people love Dean Ambrose, and Seth Rollins was a good enough heel, where, and there was such a storyline involved. And plus the fact that Roman Reigns just got beat all led to that. But it's like, if you are, what's brave about, you know, you wait till somebody have a match and you just jump them to get the world title. Like, that's not a hero thing. And I told people, like, okay, if Carmella would have just won, then people were like, she didn't deserve to win. She's a dick because she looks a certain way and yada, yada, yada. That would have been the talk. If, and out of the five, went like, Tamina, nobody wanted Tamina to win, because then they would, people get uncomfortable because they're bigging up, like, you know, I'm doing this for my dad. And it's like, yeah, your dad ain't the guy to want to big up right now. Charlotte don't need it, Becky Lynch don't need it, and Natalya, like, I want to hear her, oh, I'm a Hart and I'm doing it for the Hart family. It's like, storyline wise it makes sense for her to win, and for her to win that way, it definitely worked because it made Becky Lynch look better. It's like, you know, I'm trying to do things the right way. Y'all talking about what's the smart thing. What are we trying to do? The smart thing and the right thing. Like, she looks like the ultimate hero because she put out she's basically the foil to Carmella's side. Like, I'm trying to do things the right way, and y'all, everybody told me I'm a fool. Well, if I'm a fool, then what that say about y'all? If this is the world we living in, what's that say? And Daniel Bryan kind of, like, you know, got guilt-tripped because his first thing was, well, I guess. But then it's like, you the GM, you just had a daughter. That's like almost kind of like, that's what you want to tell your baby girl? That's how you want to live your life? And it's like, he's a babyface GM, so he's stuck, like, you know what? She right. So it works storyline-wise. It works for the character-wise. The fact that so many people talked about it is like, this, and compare that to how the women get treated on Raw, it's like,
yeah.
Yeah. I'm like, you want to be mad? Be mad at how they're treating Bayley. Be mad about, and Sasha Banks. Be mad about them. Like, don't cry for Becky Lynch. And to be perfectly honest, a lot of people sound real sexist and they don't even realize it. Because this whole, oh, we got to treat the women perfect and they deserve the da-da-da. It's the same thing when they had Money in the Bank. I don't want to see, not even Money in the Bank, Hell in a Cell. I don't want to see women in the cage. That's because it's too violent. These women can deliver babies. Come on now. Like, why are we, this women, these, the women at the end of the day, it's not like they want to be treated like men. they want to be treated like equals. Mm-hmm. They want the same opportunity. Like, we want to be babying men. It's like, you kick a man in the nuts, he ain't moving for 10 minutes. So how are we going, so what are we doing? Like, this whole, I don't want to be the women, and they Danny Flowers, they deserve the best, and da-da-da-da-da. I'm like, no, I want them to be, if let them cheat like the men cheat. I want them to be treated as equals, not this whole, we put them in a gilded cage, and they all know, because they all ain't noble. And they got quirks and flaws and everything like that, and I want to see all of it.
To wrap that up and to wrap the show up, real equality, being equal with men, is having to suffer through horrible booking just like the men have.
Exactly.
And I'm not saying this was horrible, but as you pointed out, Bayley and Sasha Banks, hey, welcome to the club, ladies. So, yeah, we meant to spend more time on some wrestling, which, you know, if you guys are into that or not, maybe next week. But, time to wrap up. Stunt Granny on all social media, Stunt Granny on SoundCloud. We watch stuff, I think, as well. You can find us on both of those. And then, yeah, just anywhere you go, just look for Stunt Granny. And that's it for me. I'll let Shahid take us out.
For Jeremy Mays, I'm Shahid Adul Hadi, and give everybody a chance. We are out.